sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up.
I am a sinner who's probably gonna sin again. Lord, forgive me. Things I don't understand. Sometimes I need to be alone. Message. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. I can feel your energy from two planets away. Got my drink. I got my music. I would share it. But today I'm yelling, bitch, don't kill my vibe. 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 Thank you. Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzard, a.k.a. Mr. B Dot Black, a.k.a. Mr. Shut Up Podcast, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Before I, okay, I kind of fucked up one of those AKAs. If you are a returning listener, you probably recognize that it's just B Dot Black. There ain't no Mr. B Dot Black. All right? It's out there. I'm acknowledging it. Fucked up. Let's move on. Now, speaking of returning listeners, I want to continue to remind you that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. That means Rouge et Bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on May 31st, 2023. 8:08 p.m. And it's 31 degrees in the nation, in the NCR. And it's 31 degrees out there, but it's probably hotter in here. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right. Okay, you know what? Actually, I'm gonna. This is like a little quick session. Before I say anything and for the intro, let me share something by the great poet Obie West. And it's a poem titled Right For You. Right, got off his TikTok. Here we go.
This is to all you artists who are in a funk and afraid to air out the stench. Whatever you do, don't be afraid. You just have to dress your perspective in a nice outburst. Oops, I mean outfit, and then send it to work for you. As a branch on this poetry, you have a responsibility to bear fruit, cultivated via a bared soul. But don't just be out there bare. No, you must create boundaries where it's necessary, but you also must grant your art access to your secrets, grant your mistakes access to your grace, grant your regrets access to your growth, grant your shortcomings clemency, write your own grants. You'll be amazed at the payoff. You have to teach your pen to be fierce, bold, it's aerial black with a thick tip of a Sharpie. Sharpen your craft and get your cheese grater. form, but never conform. Whatever you do, never ever conform, because a true poet has an authentic opinion, loads it in their pen, and then lets off amongst large crowds. A true poet isn't peer pressured to pen purely for the applause. They use poetry as an appliance, like a cooking utensil, so they can prepare food for too cliche. A true poet writes with a Kalana pen so they can put an end to anxiety. This is how we sort our disorders. It just takes an iota of ink to sink a sad boat, a few quotes and it's smooth sailing. So tell all those checkers to sit back while you get off your chest.
Damn, that was loud. Oh my God. Sorry, that last part. Sorry about that. Sorry if I burst your ears. Fucking inconsistent PC sound. I mean, sorry. Give it up for Ruby West, folks. Give it up, please. Give it up. Give it up. Shout out to my studio audience. All right, Ruby West. I discovered Ruby West through another great poet, Talaam Acey. And the reason I'm sharing this is because brother had me thinking of, look, I've always wanted to be a poet, honestly. I've always wanted to. Not just for the rhyming, not to pick up chicks, but more what I loved about poetry and what he was speaking about is what he was expressing yourself. That part about just expressing your thoughts. Now, I think maybe I'm going to nickname myself. That's going to add this to my AKAs, the poet or whatever. Like, I'm a podcaster, but really, this is more poetry than anything else, all right? It's not clever, it's not... But my tactic is, yeah, the way I go random thoughts and talk about all kinds of shit, it's more, let me put it this way. If I was a poet, everything you hear on my podcast is what I, especially for final thoughts, that's what I'd be writing poems about. Anyways, and I got that same sense after listening to this poem, Write For You, reminded me of that last poem that, while listening at this moment, I was thinking about Talaam's poem called What If This Is God's Work? And I just bring those two poems together is because what these two poems have in common is because hearing them reminded me of the notion of speaking with purpose. That's what I'm saying. And it just gave me the oomph to continue podcasting. That's all I'm saying, man. Like, I'm going to have to, like, fake it till you make it with this podcast, man, because I'm actually timid and shit like that, and but if I want to get out there, that timidity is not going to work out. Timidity is going to kill this podcast. That's what I'm getting at. That's what Ruby West, with his poem Right For You, just made me realize that timidity is going to kill this podcast, and I can't allow it. I can't allow it, but I don't know. Tune in later. Who knows? To be continued. All right. I had one more thought I was going to share, but I'll save it for using random thoughts. Yeah, is that what I call it? Yeah, use a random thought, which is, to you, new listener, the second act of this podcast. So, here we go. Bam, bam. Yeah. I forgot to check the levels. The sound. Doesn't matter. We're already here. All right, first item on the rundown sheet. Oh, I meant to, on the last episode, you probably heard me make a reference to one margarita, and I forgot to explain where that reference came from, and I'll play it now, and let's all cross our fingers that I don't get sued for playing. I mean, I guess it's free of use, but anyway, shit went viral, man. For fuck it, shit went viral, and if you haven't heard it already, you're welcome. Here we go. It goes.
If you buy her one margarita, she will spread her legs.
Give me one margarita, I'ma open my leg. Give me two margaritas, I'ma give you some head. Give me three margaritas, I'ma put it in my puss. Give me four margaritas, I'ma put it in my tush. Give me five margaritas, I'ma get some fun. Give me five margaritas, I'ma put it in your bum.
Give me one margarita, I'ma open my leg.
Legs.
I'ma give you some
head.
Give me three margaritas. I'ma put it in my puss. Give me four margaritas. I'ma put it in my tush. Give me five margaritas. Give me five margaritas.
Hey.
Why did you do
Shout out to Kev on stage, more specifically, that chick Angel. Wait, that, am I saying her name right? Is that her name? Yeah. That chick Angel. And I'm a fan of their podcast. Kev on stage, he's like multi-talented. Man, that dude is like a conglomerate, man. He's on the internet. And he's a church guy. He's a motherfucking church guy. You know what? Okay, it's not the fact that he's a church guy that's a factor for me. It's more, I get the feeling that he went to a church that had a healthy environment. Because the fact that, let me put it this way, man. The Kev on stage that I went to church with, yeah, they would have beaten that shit out of them, man. They would have, I say he's healthy because look at him. He's not scared to be, he's a comedian. He's not scared to be himself. And he brands himself as a Christian. So that to me, it's an amazing thing. But that's not the point. That's not the fucking point. My point is, homie is a great entertainer, and the podcast is worth checking out. And I like the fact that I had an opportunity to reference their podcast. So here we go. All right. So as for 1, 2, or 3 margarita, 4, 5, no judgment. No judgment. I don't care how many margaritas you buy for this woman, and I don't care about the outcome. All right. So yeah. I'm gonna put it in your bum. All right. So all right. Next item. Okay. What did I put down? Oh, right. Okay, I guess I could skip this, but I put, okay, real quick, I had a moment in therapy that I realized that I think therapy is addressing the mental need, the mental issue, emotional, all that shit, but I'm realizing it's not spirituality. It's not addressing the my spiritual need. Now, this is where a Christian will be like, then why don't you turn back to Jesus? I'm like, yeah, go fuck yourself. yeah, no, I was going to say I'm a proud ex-Christian. No, that's not, you don't take pride in being an ex-Christian. You just are. And, okay, you know what? This is a complicated conversation, but I just had a moment in therapy or before therapy where I realized that, okay, there's only so much therapy can do, and I just had a realization that I still haven't addressed since leaving the church. I still haven't addressed this need for spirituality, but that's a longer journey. Again, I'm all about growth, and who knows, man? 100 episodes from now, I might have it all figured out by then. But who knows? All right. Another item I put on the rundown sheet. I said cautious because I'm cursed. And that's in reference to a line by Tupac, cautious, because I'm cursed. Have it, and it means killing me and putting me in a hearse or something like that, whatever. And they say it's the white man, I should feel, whatever. Why am I referencing that verse? Oh, right, because you know what? Black people, I don't know. Ever feel like we are a cursed people? I'm not saying we are. I'm saying, did you grow up believing that you are a cursed, we are a cursed people? All I'm saying is, it didn't fucking help that verse in the Bible, the Mark of Cain, is that what it is? Let me make sure I got this right. Mark of Cain, is that the one? The curse of Cain, the curse and Mark of Cain. Is he the one who saw his daddy naked and then God was like, what the fuck? I'm going to turn you into niggers. Whatever. Clear consensus. Mark of Cain. Translated. Whatever. Anyway, all I'm saying is just a random thought. Again, yeah, I've been struggling with this idea of I'm a descendant of cursed people. And I've had that shit. Yo, man, I've had that shit beaten into my head so much, especially as a Haitian. I've heard pastors say shit, you know, yeah, that's why Haiti's a shithole, man. Y'all won't leave that voodoo alone. Anyway, yeah. And I'm a child. I'm not old enough to tell a pastor, go fuck yourself or die slow, cracker. Sorry, I'm looking for. Oh, I didn't mention I'm recording this podcast in a very in a heated room. It's 31 degrees out there, Celsius. Shout out to my Americans who need to do the conversion. I don't know what it is in Fahrenheit, but it's fucking hot. It's fucking hot. Anyways, it's so hot. How hot is it? I'm in this room, dusty. For you Anglophones, that means I'm shirtless. I'm doing this podcast shirtless. Now, usually I don't like revealing that kind of stuff. And this is the first time I'm doing it shirtless, but it's that fucking hot. For those of you bothered by this shit, I'm sorry. but it just hit me. It's my fucking podcast. What the fuck? Fuck do I care? All right. what was I talking about? Being cursed and how it's hot? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So this is just so, I don't know if you can hear in the background. It's a little humidifier, but look, all I'm saying is it's supposed to be hot again this next Sunday. There's a chance next podcast you're going to hear AC in the background. And sorry. I don't know. I'm debating on playing an AC because it's a podcast. I'm not doing music. You don't need to. I'm going to put the AC and then I'm going to ask you to tell me. And I'm going to ask you to let me know if you were able to hear it in the background. You shouldn't because I'm speaking into a very expensive microphone. I'm not saying this so I could get robbed, so so you guys could Google my home address and rob me. My point is, you would think this expensive ass dynamic microphones, because usually dynamic only pick up the sound that's being sent to it and not the outside. You know what I mean? Anyways, we'll find out. We'll see about that later. Today at work, why did I put that on the rundown? Oh, right, okay. All right, so today at work, I attended some presentation put on by some black dude. You know, I'm really bad with names and titles and group name, but at my work, it just so happens to be some kind of black employee network organization. And they brought in some black dude to talk about careers and shit like that. Now, I don't know what was in me, but I went in there with fire and brainstorm, like the Holy Spirit was in me, or like I was charged. I guess, you know what? I guess what it is it's because so I've been having some issues, unresolved racism issue, and I haven't figured out how to go about fixing it, addressing it, and it's the kind of racism that makes my organization look like fucking hypocrites. Whatever they talk about, yeah, we're against racism. We're committed to fighting racism, and it's the kind of shit that just makes you want to say, you know, bullshit. Anyways, so I guess I'm just trying to look for help. Right? Okay. So I guess I attended this meeting hoping to find solutions or make myself heard. Like if someone said some shit, talk about all the progress they've made. And yeah, they were going to feel it. So I guess in a way, I guess I came to fight. And luckily, lo and behold, the brother who's speaking, he said some insightful shit. And he was just talking about, now, I'm not going to go into to the whole presentation, but there was one part where he was talking about networking, how he networks, how he's not scared to go up to directors. He creates his network. Like, because look. If you work in the private sector, I don't know how it is in the private sector. Well, no. The whole notion, long story short, he pretty much broke down how, yo, it's not what you know, it's who you know. So build up your network, man. Like, it was just a reminder on building up your network. And the way he was speaking, he reminded me of, wait a minute, I've been doing that. Wait a minute. Hold on. I have been speaking out. Getting into people's faces. Like, I could be an introvert, but I could turn on that part of me that needs to be the life of the party or navigate through networking events. And he made me realize that, okay, I have been doing the networking thing, but all my efforts into networking, all they've done, like the only thing I have to show for it was to the energy I invested in networking, all it amounted to is to make white people feel comfortable around me. It was just enough. All my energy, that everything that I, okay. He did networking and he got promotions. Me, I just convinced a bunch of white people that, hey, he's a good guy. He's one of the good ones. That's all my networking effort. So he made me realize that either A, I've been networking with the wrong people. B, I've been networking the wrong way. Because I felt like saying, dude, I would like to see a videotape of you networking. Like, I want to see you be assertive, be getting white folks' face and say, hey, I'm the man for the job, right? I mean, how to do that without scaring these white folks? You know what I mean? Like, without making them the motion. Security. Holy fuck. Oh, fuck. The revolution started. These niggas are crazy. You know what I mean? He said some insightful shit, but the kind of shit that just made me realize, okay, all right, what have I been doing wrong? And I want to compare notes with this guy. But I'm sure there's other black people out there who go to work and work with the kind of white people who you have to, like, most of your energy, like 80% of your energy, okay, 20% is used to doing your actual job, and the other 80 is to make sure these white folks don't call the cops on you. You know what I mean? Just, you know. Anyway, yeah, it's just, man, working while black. That's all. Anyway, to be continued on that topic. All right. Okay, now this is a clip that I found on TikTok that I will share with you. And I call it Thoughts on Capitalism. And I'm just going to play it. And brother says some things that I just liked it. And it's interesting. He says, I am the Lorax. Okay, let me Google what Lorax is. Sorry, English is my second language. That's my excuse to why I don't know what the fuck a Lorax is. I mean, I think I've seen a cartoon character. Lorax. Yeah, it's a cartoon character. Wait. The Lorax. Wikipedia, The Lorax. Children's book written by Dr. Seuss that's published in 1971. It chronicles the plight of the environment and the Lorax. Oh, the titulaire character, the titular character who speaks for the trees and confronts the once business magnate who causes the environment destruction. Just for, okay, all right. Now that I've read that, okay, now I understand. You're probably wondering, what the fuck does that have to do with capitalism? Well, I'm finna tell you. All right, so I'm going to play it, and it's going to all make sense after I hit play, all right? You ready? Brace yourself. Okay, come on, sound. Don't fuck with me, sound. Oh, content creator's name is Dante Kyle. Oh, shit. Did he delete this video? Hold on a second. Refresh. Oh, there we go.
I am the Lorax, and I speak on behalf of the trees. The reason why we're struggling to see progress and niggas get sold out all the time and the movements get hijacked is because y'all think y'all can use this master's tool to defeat the master. Capitalism is a system and an arm and a strong arm of white supremacy. Capitalism in its incarnation was built off of your back, your trade, treating you like goods, not like humans, trading you like goods for your labor. Your body is the basis of capitalism. Your skin is the basis of capitalism. And you somehow done lost your black ass mind into thinking that that is what's gonna free you. The reason why we fail to progress is because you niggas don't wanna listen to black women. Black women are the most educated by race and gender. They go to these institutions. They immerse themselves within this nation and this system of white supremacy and still keep their black ass minds intact. They still on task. You niggas get some money and y'all get real alt-rightish.
Yep.
Yeah, y'all get to talking like Massanem. I heard Killer Mike say, he trying to move how old rich white people move. So you want to move like a white supremacist. That's all I need to hear to stop listening to you. You niggas think that y'all going to beat the masters with the masters' tools. It's their system. They know they can pay you off, dummy.
Yep.
They don't care about your skin being black. Because as long as your mind is white as the driven snow, they'll give you some money. Because you're going to regurgitate all their talking points.
Shit.
Look at Kanye. He basically doing the rounds. They having an orgy with him right now. Yeah, they exploiting the shit out of him. They stuffing all holes on that boy. Y'all refuse this patriarchal mindset that y'all got. Now, y'all want to talk about we was kings. We come from a systems of matriarchy. We understood and understand, I do, how powerful, how insightful, and how detrimental it is not to listen to your women. Go ahead and get your white girl, though.
Oh.
Because as soon as you build up that wealth, oh, yeah, they're going to smear your name. Oh, yeah, you're going to be the big, dangerous black guy then. They're going to get that money back. Keep on keeping on. It's just the Lorax here speaking on behalf of the trees.
Wow. Be black. Do you agree with them? It depends. Do you have a check behind you? Okay. Why I'm sharing this is food for thought. He just said some things that just made me think. Now, it's not a case of whether I agree with him or disagree with him. He just said shit worth thinking about. One thought that crossed my mind is how I had a thought where I realized that gave me happiness. You know, I don't call it a vision board, but I projected an image in my mind, and it was me no longer working in my current job and doing this shit regularly as my 9-to-5, right? And it's not just podcasting, but more being in an environment where I can be my natural black self. No code switching, no fucking ass kissing, no fucking... I'm gonna pretend I didn't hear the N-word. No having to decide, okay, is this today I have to fuck a white boy up for saying some inappropriate shit about black people? You know what I mean? Like, no having to go to a fucking conference about, hey, this is how you need to navigate in their world. You know what I mean? I was just thinking about that, right? But then, like, that's the fantasy, right? That's the dream. And the idea of... It comes at a... Okay, so I did say being authentic, right? So being authentic. So is it possible to be authentic in a capitalistic system? I don't know. I'm still... Okay, long story short, I'm still processing what he said. But he did have me thinking about the notion of not being able... We're never going to defeat the master using the master's tools. I don't know. What are your thoughts? No, yeah, you know, holy shit, I rarely say this, but yeah. I don't have any thoughts. I just heard what he said, took heed to the words of the brother, and now I'm like, don't know what to think at the moment. But if you have any thoughts, holler at me, all right? Yeah, holler at me, all right. But it is true. He is right, man. You give me a check, I will sell out. I don't know what my price is, but I do know I have a price. And let's just say, J. Cole says, being broke was better. Being broke was better. Yeah, let's just say that I'm kind of grateful that I'm broke right now. Like, this podcast is broke. I don't have any investors, anyone to answer to. I could just be my natural black self and and take it from there. All right. All right, what else do I have? I have another clip. Now, for some reason, I put in another clip that I'm sharing. It's called Wanting to Be a Grown Man at 14. I'm not sure what that's about, but here we go. What I meant by that? Oh, right, okay. Okay, so this is, I found this on Instagram, and the content creator's name or the... Oh, okay, this, I guess he... Content creator's name, this is a... He's sharing his TikTok on Instagram. That he posted on, he's sharing a tweet on Instagram. And in there he says, oh, sorry, his name is Kier Gaines. Fucking English, man. Anyways, Kier Gaines. And says some deep shit that I like. And he goes, when you're a little black boy around 14 years old, everyone starts to treat you like a threat. Approaching you as a man, take away warmth and understanding, view you as a boogeyman. Message, when you are a black boy around 14 years old, Desires for explanation becomes defiance. Indifference becomes rebellion. Your disagreement becomes disrespect. You hearing that? Being a black boy means the world tells you who you are before you get to decide for yourself. Oh my God. Now I remember why I shared this. The reason I went with, I labeled it as wanting to be a grown man at 14. Because in the caption he wrote, one of the most harmful things that we do to our little black boys is force feed them manhood before they are ready. Message. Skipping steps in the maturation. In the maturation arc creates the kind of gaps that one falls into and rarely ever escapes from. The body looks free. The heart and mind are in bondage. Damn, that's deep, man. And I just brought that up because I was just thinking about how I've been stuck. Past few episodes, you haven't heard, but I've been struggling with some rage issues and how to handle it. And the way I'd like to handle it is completely contradicting to the kind of person that I am. You know what I mean? It's the way I feel I should handle it. The way I want to handle it is the way I feel I should handle it. It's the way I've been told men, real men, handle shit. And because I can't handle it, and older version of me, or younger version of me would have been questioned his masculinity. Now, I'm just trying to make peace with who I am and deal with the situation the way I was meant to do it, the way I was meant to handle it, or the way I can handle it. You know what I mean? It's like, don't pick a fight that you're going to lose. I think that might be a chapter in The Art of War. It's like, look, man, if you want to fight Jordan, if you want to defeat Jordan, don't fucking fight him on the court. Motherfucker will kick your ass. I could probably beat, I could probably beat Jordan in podcasting. Nah, okay, no. What Jordan can't do is beat me. There we go. You know what I mean? If I had that's the way I would fight Jordan is do an impersonation of me. He'd lose. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, yeah. Anyway, what is my point? Right. Force feeding black boys at 14. And this connects to what I was talking about earlier about how all my networking effort, all my efforts to bond with white people. I had a moment where I realized that my biggest contribution to my work, not my present work, I'm talking about the past, not present, because I'm kind of working with some cooler folks right at the moment. Or I mean, I'm in a better situation than I was before. I'm talking about the past at the moment. And I realized that my biggest contribution to work was making white people feel like, hey, I'm not racist. I got a black friend. Like, I was the black guy. They could say that, yeah, I know niggers. You know, I'm not racist. Tell them me black. You know, that's what I was. I felt like I was a convenience for white folks. And I developed that shit at the age of 14. Anyways, deep words. All right. Okay. Last item on the rundown sheet is, we good on time, is someone posted this on Reddit. There's two subreddits that I'm on there very, very off, very frequently. One is the HSP one, highly sensitive people, and the other one is the podcasting one. And this one is from the podcasting one. And someone asked the question, how to deal with negative comments on YouTube? You know what? I just realized that YouTube for me is like the Apollo Theater, meaning the worst audience is on YouTube. Like, there are people on the comment section just there just to shit on your content. Like, that's their contribution. Some people post content, they post shitty comments on your content. What was I saying? The winner finds the solution to a problem. The loser finds the problem with the solution. Anyway, yeah. So there's a lot of losers on YouTube. I remember trying to explain this to someone I knew, a content creator, who had content who put some of his stuff on YouTube. And it was just nothing but negative comment. And I brought it up to him, and it was meant to be like, yo, you're in the black belt of entertainment. The fact that those comments are there and then you've accepted it. To me, it was like an admiration. It was like, fuck, when I grow up, I'm gonna be just like you type of speech. But what I did realize is this person was like sensitive about those comments. So, and he took it as, okay, that's not the point. My point is, YouTube is a scary place. And this is why I am taking this question very seriously. I love what he asked. I'm just sharing the question, right? Because the question just makes me... We understand each other. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. This content creator is... okay, I say Reddit. Do I need to mention the username? I guess the professional podcast, they do that. Okay, this person is called Mel D. Wynn. Yeah, anyway. Okay, and this is his... This was his question in podcasting. Here we go. I guess I could have read it. I could read it, but I'm going to let my AI device do it. Might as well. I pay for it. So here we go. How do you deal with negative comments on YouTube? Kick it. Oh, my God. Sorry. This is embarrassing. Oh, it's taking time to read. Sorry.
Normally, I only have one or two, and most are positive. It just bothers me. If you don't like my podcast, just don't listen or comment. Right. I don't understand these people. You aren't paying. I am the one who pays, travels, and make efforts and share this with public for whomever would be interested. But these brats are entitled. They don't even give a constructive feedback. Just attacking, oh, your voice, oh, your interview, isn't it great or inspiring? I know it is BS since I received offers based on what I do. I acknowledge that I am not perfect and always in constant quest for learning, right. But these comments just annoying, I block them. I don't know what is your experience.
There we go. Now I remember why I'm sharing this comment. It's not just because I relate to the question, but I realized that I was about to reply to this question and say some bullshit like, you know, oh, just ignore them, or they're just hater, or just basically shit on what I told you at the beginning. Winners and losers. Winners find solution to a problem, and losers find problems with the solutions. And I stopped myself from commenting because I haven't earned the right to. How am I gonna say, yeah, just do it? I'm not in this person's shoe. I haven't earned the right to speak, to respond, and give them any kind of advice or any kind of comment. But I mean, I just wanted, like, you know, I upvoted the comment, but until I can get my shit on YouTube like him, I ain't saying shit. But I am gonna speak about it on the podcast like I just did. All right, so here we go. All right. I feel for this guy, man. Yeah, someone wrote, you could just delete the comments on YouTube. Generally speaking, my rule is to allow critical comments so long as they're not clearly in bad faith. Exactly. Well said. All right. Okay. What next? All right. Okay. All right. So that concludes. That's the last item for news and random thoughts. I'm not rushing things, but I kind of want to end this podcast early because I'm trying to go to bed early. This summer hours. I don't know what it is, man. My body can sense the sunshine being out there, and them goddamn birds just wake me up. So I wake up at 6, but I need to go to bed earlier. You don't need to hear all this, but I'm just saying I need my warm milk. I plan to get some warm milk and go to bed early, all right, and get tucked in early. So all right, we're gonna jump to final thoughts. And before we do final thoughts, I gotta one more time, maestro. Oh, this is embarrassing. I said, one more time, maestro.
If you buy her one margarita, she will spread her legs. Hey,
give me one margarita, I'ma open my leg. Give me two margaritas, I'ma give you some head. Give me three margaritas, I'ma put it in my puss. Give me four margaritas, I'ma put it in my tush. Give me five margaritas, I'ma get some fun. Give me five margaritas, I'ma put it in your bun. Give me one margarita, I'ma open my leg. Give me two margaritas, I'ma give you some head. Give me three margaritas, I'ma give you some head. Give me three margaritas, I'ma give you some head.
me three margaritas, I'ma put it in my puss. Give me four margaritas, I'ma put it in my tush. Give me five margaritas, margaritas. Give me five margaritas, margaritas.
That's I forgot to bring up. Yeah, man, that chick Angel can't go to church anymore after that shit. Oh man, yeah, the church that I went through. Oh man, they would have. They would have. You look at lapidé, man. Come on, sound anglais. They would have stoned her. They would have threw stones at her. You know. Yeah. They that barbaric. Okay. All right. They wouldn't have stoned her because it's illegal in this country. But I'm just saying. Yeah, she would have brought shame to her family. Not to my family. I mean, not to me. Anyways, I'm proud of her. I'm just trying to say I'm proud of her. I'm amazed that these folks are church folks and making jokes like this. It's like, it's mind-blowing to me. This shit is just like, what the fuck? I didn't think you people existed or were allowed to exist. But here we are. I mean, man, shout out to their church, man. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Shout out to their churches that allowed them to be who they are. There we go. All right. Okay, now let's jump to final thoughts. Did I mention it's hot in here? All right, let's go. It's getting hot in here, so retire tes habits. I am good, so I want to take my clothes off. All right. Remember I mentioned I wanted to be a poet? Yeah, because I can't sing. All right. Okay, so I just wanted to tap myself on the back and say that I'm still reading. I have a book I've been reading called... It's an audiobook, but it's called The Highly Sensitive Man. Is that what it is? Oh, shit, it's right here. Hold on a second. It's called, yes, The Highly Sensitive Man by some dude named Tom Falkenstein. Falkenstein. Anyways, yeah. And what happened is I took a break from the book because I was at this chapter on exercising. Like, it was trying to explain, like, a big thing about if you're going to be a highly sensitive person, you got to learn how to regulate your own emotions. That's a big deal. And he was giving some exercise into it. But I just kept getting bored reading about it. I was like, man, I ain't trying to hear about the exercise. Tell me more about these words of wisdom, shit like that. And so all long story short, I taken a break from that book. And instead of finishing that chapter, I just skipped to the next part, which is dealing with yourself. Excuse me, let me get the exact title name. It's called Your Relationship with Yourself, How to Relate to Your High Sensitivity. It's powerful, man. And, I'm hoping to have a lot more to say on the next episode about that part, all right? With that said, I will share something that I found. Okay, it's a little long here. Okay, I got a bit of time. Okay. Someone posted something on, on the HSP section. How about this? I'm going to tell you the username, right? And it's a story called It by Godless Anarchist, all right? And he just posted in the subreddit HSP/HSP, and the title was accepted. And homie just got my attention, because acceptance is an issue for us HSP folks. So I'm just going to let my AI device read it and take it from there, all right? I don't think I can say anything extra more than he said, but to me, it's just powerful. It's the shit that I related to, so here we go. Here we go. One margarita, it's just taking time to load, so. One margarita, I'm going to give him some. Give me two margaritas.
Acceptance.
Here we go.
I have been seeking help for other things when this subject was brought up. If I am being honest, I rejected it at first because it felt like a weakness. Mm. I also despise having a label, which was also causing negative feelings about this topic.
Agreed.
And myself. With my experience as a male, I never fully felt like the other boys and men around me. Especially as society standards are now as current.
Agreed.
I can be that go-getter, hyper-aggressive, and slightly ruthless, while also being extremely empathetic, compassionate, and caring. It depends on the situation, but none of these describing factors that I just listed are always present. They seem to appear as needed.
Right.
I correlate this to my fight or flight response just being hyperactive and sensitive. That word sensitive really bothered me honestly up until 2 days ago.
Ditto.
I have been aware of the term HSP for a few months now, but have had such a bias towards the word sensitive, it was stopping me from learning more about HSP and myself. After taking the time researching what a HSP is, I can certainly see how I fit into this category of a person. I want to talk about feelings or emotions first because I feel like I relate the most to the rest of this community in this way. Most of my life, I have always felt more connected to the people environment around me. When someone is in pain, whether that be emotional or physical, I almost feel their pain as well and become somewhat distressed. I want to just help this person feel better, one, because I do genuinely care, and because I think subconsciously if I help them resolve the issue, I will feel like myself again or begin to start to feel better. Anger is a big one for me.
Yep.
I just know when someone is angry, frustrated, and sometimes I can feel the intention of the other person to do harm, whether that is physically, emotional, or psychological harm. I don't even have to be interacting with the person to sense this or feels this. Could be two random people I just happen to be around.
I'm going to pause real quick and say that I was talking earlier about how much energy I spend calming white folks down. I think a lot of it too is the whole HSP thing. It kicks in. Like I get nervous. I get my fight or flight response kicks in whenever I'm around a white person who's not comfortable around me. And I don't mean like uncomfortable. I mean like threatened. Like, yeah, you know what? I just mean uncomfortable. And yeah, that's why the story of Trayvon Martin broke my heart, man. White dude felt uncomfortable around him, saw him as a threat. Now he's dead. So here we go. All right, so I'm going to keep going, man. I just, again, connected to what he said. Keep going.
My mind can feel like a door wide open sometimes. As I have learned, I can get overstimulated and just start to react or shut down. I feel as though this is an obvious response for most people, but it is always so intense.
Yep.
Simple situations sometimes feel like life or death. An example of when I become overstimulated and have to react is mainly at work. I work in an environment that goes from steady and mellow to within seconds 50 plus people need something from me. It comes at me from my work phone ringing nonstop, patients, therapist, and management all deciding to be needy at that exact time. It happens every time. In these instances, rather than shutting down, all the information just continuously comes in nonstop, and I react to this information as it comes in. I actually make it work very well. I'm very successful with converting my nervous energy and stress into efficiency. I am usually a little tired once the craziness ends, but I don't have much time to think or reflect on it because I have my administrative work to keep doing. I can also recall times when I was younger and my little brother would wander off or get lost in public and everyone was showing panic and freaking out. I had my mind wide open just accepting every bit of information, trying to catch a glimpse of my brother or to hear him call out. A funny connection to me would be like when a cat gets startled and their pupils go from tiny dots to their whole eyes. I always found my brother or whatever we are looking for. You bet I was the one that lead us back through cities to where we parked. Again, generally, after these experiences, I feel exhausted.
Yep.
Now, if I continuously am surrounded in any type of environment, my mood really starts to shift and adapt to those around me. Last week at work, everyone was in a bad mood the entire day week. Well, guess what? It started to affect me, and I know it did because I started to care less about things. My quality of work, my appearance, and how I communicated. Everything about me was screaming negativity, which is what I was surrounded by for the largest portion of my day. Home is not too good either. Rarely is anyone in the best of moods, and it feels as though I'm walking around on Legos.
Oh, man.
Legos, because they hurt more than stepping on glass.
A joke,
LOL. With all my thoughts now out on the table, I am trying to learn to navigate the world in a way where I am not just going to shelter myself, but be successful while still having healthy boundaries.
Wow.
I really feel as though being this way feels like either being a superhero or supervillain.
Yeah.
The hero aspect is I connect with people more easily and can find common ground regardless of the demographics of the person.
Right.
For the first time the other day, I used my I guess knowledge for something not so good. I don't know, but the person I was talking with, I could sense weakness. I don't mean weak in the mind or body, but what we were talking about, I could sense they were uncomfortable and not very well informed on the subject.
Right.
I could tell they wanted to stop talking about it, but they made no move to stop the conversation or change subjects. So I pushed a bit, and what I found was interesting. I felt like I really understood the person, and from there started to slowly understand some of their flaws or insecurities they saw in themselves. I felt as though I had immense power over them and the conversation. I did enjoy this feeling, but then found myself sick to the stomach. I was able to understand someone's feelings and not act on it with a good intent. Now, this may sound dramatic, but the conversation was just about a controversial subject that I feel is stupid and blown out of proportion, so I played ignorant, asking her to explain herself and her view. I could slowly see the realization on her face that she was realizing how stupid she sounded and that she wasn't fully invested in what she was saying. I allowed the conversation to end and shared my appreciation to her for sharing her views or points on the subject at hand. But I did not feel right about what I did. A lot of rambling here, so if you made it this far, comment your favorite type of ice cream. Thank you for tagging along my rant discussion.
Yeah, that was kind of long. Hold on. Hello. Okay. Okay, I forgot to mention. Did I mention his, yeah, I did say, godless anarchist. God, that, you know, maybe I should have these people on the podcast. Because that brother went on, I'm assuming it's a brother. Yeah, it's a brother. Went on a, that was like a data dump. A brain dump of information. I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm saying, because I followed what he was saying. I related. Sometimes I appreciate when people say things, similar thoughts, articulate similar thoughts. I find myself that, oh, thank you. I'm grateful for, thank you for sharing. Thank you. Because when I try to put shit on paper, it's exactly that. It's just shit. It's just, what the fuck was that? Where's the punctuation, man? Fuck, where's the verb? You know what I mean? But I love when people who are better at articulating share their thoughts this way, and you can find yourself within it. Now, with that said, I mean, I'm not using with that said as a but. I'm adding, I'm complimenting. The last part, I didn't pay attention because this is the second time I read this thing. And I didn't focus on that last part. And using your sensitivity as a weapon. You know what's funny is I've used my sensitivity and empathy, all that shit, all my trait as a means for survival. See, when I'm out there, when I'm outside this room, I'm in survival mode. And I've used my sensitivity to keep myself safe. But it's a bad tool. Yeah, I never realized you could use it as an offensive tool on the offense. And I get, yeah, I mean, I can understand him feeling sick to their stomach. But, no, that's interesting. It was a fascinating thought, the idea of using your sensitivity as, well, I tell you what, my incentive to use insensitive as a weapon is just because I still perceive being sensitive as a weakness, and if it can't be used as a weapon, then, you know, it would make me feel better about myself, even though I'd be a piece of shit for doing so, but that's another story. All right, well, anyways, all right, thanks for sharing, man. Again, what is this podcast about? Well, I don't have a co-host, so I compensate by reading long pieces like this. All right, okay, what time is it? All right, okay, I'm about to finish. Okay, last but not least. What's up with the title? What's up with today's title? how do I start? Okay, I'll be honest. Today's title was supposed to be related to feeling like a curse. But I feel the need to develop that idea further, right? And so, like, yeah. So don't be surprised if the title of the next episode is Children of a Lesser God. But I'll get back to you. I'm still working on it, right? And this is just something, a conversation that I had in therapy, and it's involving into the concept of feeling cursed. Anyways, so instead, I was waking up, and I like to play music to try to get me out of bed. It must have been on a Tuesday. And yeah, this song came on, Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe by Kendrick Lamar. West Coast, baby. Yeah, and I remember when I was just listening to the first part going, I am a sinner who's probably going to sin again. Lord, forgive me. I'm like, man, cut it out, Jesus boy. I mean, that was my first thought. But then he said, things I don't understand. Sometimes I need to be alone. Okay, really? Sometimes I be alone. That's a reflection on how much I love solitude. And maybe too much. But yeah, I do have my moments where sometimes I need to be alone. But I hooked on to that word, to that sentence, to that verse. And then he follows up with, bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. On the previous episode, I was explaining how I talked about an incident that happened and I gave a middle finger. I dedicated a middle finger to people out there who go out and kill other people's vibes. The bitches out there, by bitch I mean, you know, that's not gender specific. The bitches out there who go out and kill people's vibes. Anyway, so I was thinking about that. I was remembering how I was talking about bitch I killed my vibe. And then, because I also talked about how the person who killed my vibe just reminded me how I'm easily bruised and how he hurt my feelings. So I was thinking of the theme of being sensitive. And then Kendrick says, I can feel your energy from two planets away. I got my drink. I got my music. I would share it, but today I'm yelling, bitch, don't kill my vibe. And I'm like, is he talking about being sensitive? Look, a lot of you, shout out to you, Kendrick Lamar fan, going, no, that's not what the fuck he's talking about. I know. I looked up the lyrics, all right? I'll get back to you. But for a split second, for that moment, until I heard that verse and didn't look it up on Rap Genius, I considered the possibility that this was his way of saying that he's a sensitive person. Now, look, either A, when he says, I can feel your energy from three planets away, either he's talking about a bomb-ass bitch, a bomb-ass girl, whose energy he can feel from a long distance, or he's saying he's got his sensitivity, set so high to such a sensitivity that he can feel her from two planets away. But then he says, bitch, don't kill my vibe. Now, apparently, this song, okay, now I will, I'm just saying, this would be a cool way, like, if I was a poet, I would use that line to explain how I could be a sensitive person. I can feel your energy from three planets away, all right? Because, you know, copyright infringement, I ain't gonna steal his shit. Anyway, now, I'm gonna read on Rap Genius, according to Rap Genius, this is what that line actually means. And it's actually a better understanding. And it goes, I can feel your energy from two planets away. And he says, and I won't use the AI, but he goes, these lines, and this is interesting, right? This is AI. This is not AI. This is Rap Genius. This is not Kendrick who wrote this. But so this is an interpretation. He said, these lines may infer a romantic relationship with a woman who won't give Kendrick space. This also is a possible reference to an old adage that men are from Mars and women are from Venus, a notion that was popularized in a 1992 book by John Gray. Mars is two planets away from Venus. So I can feel your energy from two planets away, talking about how because she's a woman, I can feel your energy. It's basically Kendrick Lamar's way of saying, I can feel you, woman. Okay, so it's interpretation. So it's not definite. Hold on, let me see. 22 contributors? Let me see what everyone else says. Oh, 24%. Okay, some people like it. Okay. View all edits? Edit history? Okay. A lot of people wrote shit. Anyway, all I'm saying is I like the idea of I can feel your energy from two planets away. And it also speaks to the fact that this is why I look when I'm out there. Yeah, I walk through people's energies. Now I know I sound weird. Like I hate talking like this. Like I'm into crystals and shit like that. I just mean like I'm at some point I'll look up the scientific. A better scientific explanation, but we have five senses. Well, I can sense Sometimes I feel I can sense people's moods. I'm not always accurate, but I can sense. I remember when being a kid and hanging out with my black friends, teenagers, right? And you know, we're talking loud on the bus. And I'm the one guy who's like, these white folks ain't happy, man. Like, I can see facial expression. I can see the annoyance. And I'm like, yo, we should keep it down. And they'll be like, man, fuck you, nigga. Fuck them. Man, fuck them crackers, man. Fuck it. You know, and they're like, I'm like, dude, duh. Because in my mind, I'm like, fight or flight. I'm like, black people have been lynched for less, man, and shit like that. So I'm just saying, yeah, yeah. You know, I just thought that there's a white person probably listening to this episode and say, damn, he's really nervous around white people. Or he's probably saying even worse and saying like, fuck, man, your fear of white people is so exaggerated. Yeah, tell that to Trayvon Martin, George Floyd, and every other black person who made the mistake of treating their killers like a decent human, as decent human beings. But that's another story. That's another story. Yeah, that's it. You know what? I'm going to wrap up today's episode because, like I said, I need to go to bed. I need to go to bed. I need to, you know, get this beauty sleep. You know what? I'm just going to put out there. I kind of like this episode. I kind of like the shit that I brought up today. Even though I'm in a hot-ass studio. Oh, the reason I'm complaining about this hot-ass studio is at some point I'm going to start nagging you people for donation because I need a new board. I need to... a AC that's like that's noise canceling. You know, I need a lot of shit, man. I got problems. I got problems, and that money can help. Hey, the master's tool. I need some of the master's tool to help me with some of my problems. But with that said, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast midweek episode. Holler at me. You can DM me on Twitter. Well, as long as Elon Musk doesn't fuck it up, and he's dropping, man. Elon Musk is turning Twitter into a fucking trailer park, man. And slowly is going to turn it into a segregated one. Say, yeah, you black folks go on that side. But anyways, yeah. So, Elon Musk fucks up Twitter, runs it to the ground. You can holler at me on, you can DM me on Twitter. Find me at @bblizak or @bblizak or @shutuppodcast. You can DM me on TikTok. Username is b.black. Or you can do the old-fashioned way. Just go to the website, our website called shutuppodcast.com. At the same time, you'll be able to find the show notes, the link to everything that I referenced in this episode are in the show notes. You can also email me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And, of course, on our website, if you want to subscribe to this podcast, use the RSS feed on the website or go to Google and Apple Podcasts. Choose one. 6 million ways to die. Choose one. All right. Thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast.
I am your king now.
Peace.